The title of the sermon this afternoon is a question. Do we really trust in God? Ask yourself that question. Do we really trust in God? With a lot going on in this world, this topic has sort of crossed my mind quite a few times because growing up, I used to be a lot more trusting than I am today, especially in what's going on around us. I used to trust law enforcement. I trusted the laws of the country. It seems like a lot of the laws nowadays are just being reapplied on however people think. But I looked up a term that people tend to toss around every now and then. It's in God we trust. In God we trust. It's a wonderful statement, but I think as far as God's people, we truly understand that we do trust God, our Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. July 30th, 1956, the 84th Congress passed a joint resolution declaring "In God We Trust" as the national motto for the United States. Well, you remember, for those that were during that time or studied history, the Cold War, communism, Americanism, all that was really at a height. And that was really one of the reasons why they wanted our nation to have "In God We Trust." The resolution passed both the House and the Senate unanimously and without debate. It replaced "E Pluribus Unum," Latin "out of many one," which had existed before as the de facto official motto of the United States. But the United States Code now states "In God We Trust" as a national motto. The resolution was reaffirmed 2006 on the 50th anniversary of its adoption by the Senate, and in 2011 by the House of Representatives in a 396-9 vote. In the year 2000, the House additionally encouraged to publicly display the motto, "In God We Trust." The House of Representatives features the motto above the rostrum of the speaker, which was carved in the wall December of 1962. Well, again, this was to show that separation of where the United States was fighting communism. And even back then, there was pretty much a lot of abuse as well with the government of telling citizens that, "Oh, you're a communist, we're going to check on you." You know, especially in Hollywood with the movies and the writers and so forth. And there was actually a movie put out, I don't know if how many had seen it, it was a Jim Carrey movie called The Majestic. Anybody see that movie? Yeah, a few of you. Well, in part of that movie, it's about a Hollywood writer who is accused of being a communist. And it goes through, he loses his memory, and, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but there's a part in the movie after he gets his memory back that they find out where he's at, and now he has to appear before the House, the Senate meeting to answer for this accusation. So during a conversation, this individual talking to him says, "It's no big deal. Just get up there and tell them what they want to hear and move on." So the Constitution of the United States, you know what that is? It's just a piece of paper with signatures on it. And do you know what a piece of paper with signatures on it is? It's a contract subject to negotiation. And you stop and think, well, that's the way our country nowadays is acting from a governmental perspective. They're changing rules, they're adding and taking away, basically what the so-called majority feels is what's right. But in most cases, we're seeing how this nation is not following God, they're not putting their trust in God, and we're going the opposite direction. So as We have seen and read in various publications on how God has been and is being erased in this very nation that says, "In God we trust," as our national motto. It's being erased from everyday life, in schools, governments, businesses, even our national laws, and our families. Satan is attacking all these areas, having man do what he wants them to do. The nation is reaping what it has sown. You know, God, our Father, is a loving and merciful creator. And his instructions to mankind tells us of his blessings and cursings, which we should pay attention to. But our nation continues to choose the wrong direction by casting God out. Just as a reference, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 talks about God's promises, the blessings and curses. I'm not going to cover that information. I'm just referencing those books, those chapters that you can go to later. But do we really trust in God as God's people? Do we really? The definition of the word trust, and I took this from the Random House Webster College Dictionary, is a reliance on the integrity, the strength, the ability, the surety of a person or thing, basically the confidence. A confident expectation of something, a hope, confidence, hope, upon whom a person relies, such as we do. In God we trust. We, God's people. God is my trust. Some synonyms for the word trust are confidence, dependence, reliance, faith, to depend on, to rely on, to believe, to hope, to commit. It's a lot of words, but they all show that we need to believe and confide and entrust ourselves to our Father and his laws and his ways. But just the opposite of that word, trust, we have doubt. We have skepticism. We have mistrust. I mean, which grouping of these words are prevalent in today's society that we see in today's world? Not just this nation, but around the world. We tend to see doubt, the skepticism, the mistrust. We know during the COVID-19 epidemic, we had people from government agencies, from families, from businesses. They were enforcing the various laws that were set down, mask usage, mask, lockdowns, vaccines, with the phrase of trust the science. Trust the science. And even the overstepping of certain federal agencies, such as, you know, the CDC and other governmental agencies, to enforce these areas, especially in countries that were actually penalizing people with fees and penalties for not doing what the government was telling them to do. I'm not here to debate the policies or personal choices that people have made. I'm just to make a reference to where the people were being told to put their trust, to put their trust in science. COVID is a serious disease. We all know that. It's a serious and contagious disease. And in God's word, we were told that at the end time, even during the beginning of sorrows. In Matthew 24, if you would, turn to Matthew 24. Let's go to God's Word. Starting in verse 4, this is where the disciples came to Christ, asking him, "When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming, the end of the age, end of the world?" Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Okay, don't put your trust in science. Don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. Don't be deceived in what people are trying to tell you. Trust God. Seek the truth. "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." As we go through this message, you'll see God's word is just full of promises. God's word is full of promises. When he says this is going to happen, it's a promise. It's going to happen. God's word is true. God cannot lie. What he says to us, we need to heed. "For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in different places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows." God tells us. He warns us. Whatever form pestilence take, it's coming. Some of us already here. Some of us already been happening. But look what's ahead of us. Now you see all these other names, monkeypox, all these current diseases that are resurfacing, that are morphing into different and more severe strains. Trust in the science phrase morph more into "do what we tell you" in some countries more than others. Okay, we know what we're talking about. We know what's good for you. You don't have a choice in it. Okay. How is this continuing to play out even today, which continues to move us toward that end that God has described to us of the beast power and the false prophet? Do we really trust God? The answer should be yes, even more so today. As God's people, we often talk about faith, that we need to have faith, a synonym for trust. We need to have faith in God. We need to believe what he says and trust in him. God promises people. God is faithful, and he carries out his promise on his timeline. If you would, turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Here Paul is stating we can be confident. Okay, that confidence, another synonym for trust. That once God starts working in our lives, because God is the one who called us, he is working in our lives, and that we respond to that calling, he will complete that work until the time when Christ returns and we're changed. And guess what? That's another promise from God. His son is going to return. We will be changed if we stay the course. God's promise, when he starts a work in us, and we stay committed, another synonym for trust, we're committed to that work He is going to finish it. It's not just God doing everything. We have to commit. We have to do what he asked of us to do. In 2 Peter chapter 3, with everything that's going on around us, the surety of God's word, God's word is something that we, what they used to say, you can take it to the bank. It's a sure thing. 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be destroyed or dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation or living and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to this promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. That holy day is coming ahead of us. After the Feast of Trumpets, the Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and the eighth day. And then this, where God comes down with the New Jerusalem. And to imagine those that have seen all that God has shown, all of God's truth that he's made people aware of, still refuse to turn to God. They will be destroyed. But those that accept God, that follow his ways, that are changed into spirit beings, will see God returning or coming down with New Jerusalem. The Lord is not slack, as it said, concerning his promises. Can we remember times in our life that we may have been slack in our promises to others or to ourselves? You know, sometimes it's just so easy to make a promise and then forget. I was reminded of that just today, where I had promised to do something and I forgot, which I apologize for, but I still had to write it down this time to remember it. Okay. It wasn't intentional, but it was something that a promise was made, but there was that slackness. Because now is the time for us to tighten that connection to our God, to trust him, to follow him, to live his way, to remove that slackness out of our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. A lot of temptations out there. Especially with the TikTok, the YouTube, the smartphones, the computers. There are just so many things that are there that can distract you. With all the algorithm processes, it's pretty much can hone in on what you're accessing and give you more of that, no matter what it is. But there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Another promise from our Father. From God's faithfulness to not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able. He gives us a way of escape, which we must take. We must be able to recognize it and take it. If not, we fail. We are to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, but Satan, he will continue knowing our faults, knowing our weaknesses, he will continue to place those stumbling blocks out there for us, trying to get us to stumble in sin. But we need to be able to recognize those areas in our life today and each day that we have not overcome yet, that still trips us up, that we have to fight and overcome. This evil world, this corruptible world, corrupt world, is full of depraved temptations. Even in God's Word, it talks about these areas of sin. For the temptations of wine, women, and song, of lying and cheating, stealing and killing. Human life today doesn't seem to be worth very much to some people. They'll take it quickly. If you have something they want and they want it bad enough, they may not allow your life to stand in their way. That's why we pray fervently for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is another promise that we seek to our Father. We have been promised that Christ will return. And what will occur at that time? But ancient Israel, if you would turn to Psalm chapter 78, of all they did and all they saw, when Moses dealt with them and they came out of Egypt. I want to be jumping around on a few verses here in Psalm 78. But we see where Israel was not accepting God. Again, they were the opposite of trust that we mentioned earlier. They had mistrust. Psalm 78, let's start in verse 8. It might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Can we relate that to our time today? Do we really see a lot of hearts out there steadfast to God? In God we trust? Do we really see that in our government? Our nation. Let's go to verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. Verse 11. And forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. We have those works recorded for us in God's word as examples for us. But all these verses you can see in today's world. They have forgotten God. They have forgotten or don't even know that God is the one who blessed this nation. Verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. We're provoking God with our laws and our depravity each and every day. Verse 22, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. There's just no trust In verse 32 and 33, "For all this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble." I mean, out west, there was an article about, talking about Las Vegas and New Mexico area with roughly 50 days of water left. The Hoover Dam, not enough water to generate electricity, power for all the millions that it supplied or supplies. All the different things, food shortages, crops failure, locusts, whatever you want to see in articles that actually try to publish what's actually going on out there and not things that they're fabricating. Well, all these things are happening, the beginning of sorrows, things that are occurring that we're seems to be accelerating. That God has told us, God has promised that these would happen, that we are to be watching. Psalms chapter 33. Verses 18 through 21. Psalms 33, starting in verse 18. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." Again, another synonym for the word trust, the hope in his mercy, "to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name." Again, God is that faithful God. God has promised that he would watch over us, he would keep us. In Psalms 37, verses 39 and 40. "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble." Who is their strength? The Lord is. "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." Can you see the promises there in those words that God has had recorded for us? A lot of the Psalms talk about putting our trust in the Lord. Trusting God, basically committing ourselves to the Lord. We must want it. We must believe it. We must stay close to God through repentance, through the study of His Word, through fastings and meditations, through our works. Serving others, we must truly trust him. In Proverbs chapter 3, I mean, these are God's words. While I'm speaking here, I just got a mental image of, you know, the rah-rah pom-poms, you know, the cheerleaders, how they really build up the team and the fans and everything at these sports events. Well, this is even more serious than that, more believable, more truthful, you know. Our game is against Satan the devil, our adversary. But God is on our side. We will win if we stay the course. And we need to be joyful of this information, these truths. Because we must truly trust God. In Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1 through 5. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shalt you find favor and good understanding for good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. With all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. Again, committing to his calling and his way. In Hebrews chapter 13, let's start in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Again, a godly promise that we're to believe. Verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Verses 14 through 16. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Daily, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God can't lie. God is eternal. God's word is truth. And God is our source of life. Have you ever thought, as you read God's word, at the very beginning of God's word, in Genesis 1:1, when you read this verse, Genesis 1:1, and I'll go to John 1 after this, but where it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What does that conjure up in your mind? God's eternal. Okay, so let's go to John 1, starting verse 1. I'll come back to Genesis 1:1 as well. I'm going to combine the two. John 1:1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Do we really trust in God? Well, these verses showed and show today. What does he mean by beginning? If God and Word eternal, beginning of what? Well, what have we been talking about? God's promise. God's promise to mankind. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was created for man. Man was created. God wants a family. Okay. However many of billions or eons of years before that specific beginning of creating the heavens and earth, of all that planning, you know, the angels were created because when the earth was created, they rejoiced. So they were already existing prior to that. But the beginning that God set in place for us sitting here today, do we truly believe in God? Do we trust God? He loves us. He created us. He created the heavens and the earth. He gave His only begotten Son, who was the Word. He became human, as we see in John chapter 1. All of that love, that plan for mankind, that salvation, that eternity that is before us, that He's presenting to us. Do we really stop and think about the wonder of God, the love, the agape love that He shows us? We should be able to bring ourselves to trust in the eternal. All that He has done for us and He will do for us, the things that we don't even know yet, that He hasn't shown us yet, that is ahead of us. But again, we have to maintain, we have to endure. In our booklet, The Fundamental Beliefs of the United Church of God, the very first one that's listed is God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I just want to read the beginning of this from the book, quoting here. We believe in one God, the Father, eternally existing, who is a spirit, a personal being of supreme intelligence, knowledge, love, justice, power, and authority. He, through Jesus Christ, is the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. He is the source of life and the one for whom human life exists. God wants a family. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is the Word, and who has eternally existed. We believe that He is the Messiah, the Christ, the divine Son of the living God, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born in human flesh of the Virgin Mary. We believe that it is by Him that God created all things, and that without Him was not anything made that was made. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God and of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the power of God and the Spirit of life eternal. You can also read page 57 of the same booklet, because it talks about the resurrections and eternal judgment. All of these are promises of our Father. These are truths. These are fundamental beliefs of the United Church of God. These are our fundamental beliefs. There are more than just what I've read. Maybe good to go back and review at some point. A lot of good information. But can we, and I know we can, to bring ourselves to trust God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ of all that they're doing for us? Throughout this booklet and all of God's material, His holy scriptures are God's promises. If you would, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'll just talk about a few verses here. Let's start in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, of which we are part of this statement. We are here. There's a time. There's a season for every purpose. We have a purpose that God has established for us. Verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. Verse 14. I know that whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it or anything taken from it. And God does it, that men should fear before him. Verse 17. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. God's promise. Even in today's world, we know there has been and continues to be suffering. In this world, each day we can see it. And for a lot of us, it has hit close to home. For our neighbors, our friends, our own personal families, our spiritual family. I mean, just look around. There may be those we know that are not here today that may be suffering due to illness or whatever it may be. You know, as was mentioned in the beginning or the opening prayer, we pray for those. Mr. Wendt put out the UCG United Church of God prayer list. Now, I apologize to Holly because I did use orange. So overlook that, please. This latest list that was dated July 2022 shows 65 people on this list. 13 of these people are now awaiting a resurrection. They had died. 20% of this list. Well, this is not even a complete list of God's people. You know, there are others that are suffering that are not on the list, but they're in our prayers. It's, again, God knows that we have to continue learning as future children of God to cope and to expect these types of suffering in order to grow closer to our Father. We have a corrupt human nature. We're not eternal. We're not eternal yet. We're still in this human form, this corrupt form. But one day, again, God's promise, we will be born into his family. We have to overcome. We need to learn to accept God through what is thrown at us from this world. And a lot is being thrown around. We need to learn to follow God. We need to grab a hold and hang tight on God's promises by having faith and trust in our Father. If you would go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter 4, starting verse 12 through 14. We read, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached, if you're criticized for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, where he is spoken evil of, but on your part, he is glorified. He is praised." Verse 16 through 19. "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come. The judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God, that do not trust, that do not hold firm, that will not accept the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." So again, all these promises that God shows us that we're to be trusting in his word. First Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, starting verse 16. We'll go through verse 24. "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved or kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it." Another promise there. We hold fast. We trust. We need to stop thinking about ourselves and our problems so much. We need to put our focus on our Father. Place our thoughts more so on God. We need to see God in our life, the successes that he has given us throughout our life. God is calling us now. Judgment is on the house of God now. Now, in our hymnal, page 3, "Trust in God and stand in awe." Not only does the title use the word trust, but when we closely look at most of our hymnals taken from God's word, you can see throughout, just as you can see throughout God's word, scriptures, the promises to his children. So we should rightfully stand in awe of the awesome God. I'm not going to cover Mr. Wentz, Something to Ponder, but if you want to reread that, you can see throughout his message that he sent out, again, all the promises that God has shown us and is telling us about. I went through and highlighted various areas dealing with the kingdom, the great harvest of mankind, Christ's return. God will take care of those that he calls. He's willing to lead and purify us. All these promises. God will begin the harvest of mankind. All of these are promises. It will come about. But have you ever found yourself reading, whether it's the United News or the Beyond Today or even our literature, and it has the scriptures referenced? And in some cases, it's more than one. In some cases, it may be one or multiple. Have you ever found yourself going, well, yeah, I remember that? Or have you found yourself really not going to, like the Bereans, improving the scriptures that are referenced? Slowing down, not just saying, well, I want to read through it, but I'll get to some of the scriptures, maybe not all of them. Well, we need to start thinking that God's word is truth. And we need to be building upon that to strengthen ourselves in God's word. Don't just read God's word to get through a reading program, but to deeply ponder his word to see his promises to us now and in the future. Let's go to one final scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, bringing this to a close. First Corinthians chapter 2, just a few verses here, starting verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden vision, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And as we continue to read his publications and even the prayer request, the deep things of God that he wants us to understand, mainly that trust in our Father and our elder brother. So as we were asked in the beginning through the title of this message, do we really trust in God? And if there's still any doubt, if there's still any question in your mind, then there's still work that we need to do. Ourselves and us as a family. To pray for one another. For us to seek after God and his truth. We have to come to a conclusion. Are we fully committed? Do we fully rely on God? Do we fully trust God? God has allowed us time to grow and overcome. But like any time, it may be limited. We don't know. Are we prepared? He wants us in his family. And a God family is truly worthy of trust. But once it's over, were we prepared at that point in our life? God wants us to be. God provides for us. He wants us there, and we want to be there.